always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? All right, let's see. The next question here comes from... here we go. Siskel2831, your opinion, if the front office plans to groom Adu and Carr fully into our defensive stoppers in a two-year plan while waiting to trade Vando, and Dalton's next year. So you're asking if like that, look, the Lakers are very aware of the fact that they need young guys to be productive on their rookie contracts because of how expensive the rest of the roster is. So they drafted a guy like Cam Carr, who's a little older and a little more NBA ready right now. They have Adu Thiro, who they have high hopes for in his ability to, like, he is a Thiro, that is, has like a grown man body already, and he has grown man NBA athleticism, and the Lakers are hoping that that translates into helping this year. Now they're going to do whatever work that they have to do to also, you know, sign their starting power forward for this upcoming season. But the hope is that like the young guys that they have on their team take real steps forward over the course of the season and certainly over the course of the next couple of seasons, and that those guys can become legit rotation players while they are on their rookie deals to help kind of supplement the more expensive pieces that the Lakers have. And the other thing too is, if those guys pop, if those guys become legit rotation players and they're young and they're on their rookie deals, well, then they become legit trade pieces too. So that's what the Lakers are hoping to get from those guys. That's why I would be shocked if those guys were included. No, maybe not shocked. I would say surprised if Adu Thiro or Cam Carr were included in some of these trades. And, I think the plan here is to try to open up that space by way of, you know, either sending cash along with Dalton Connect, and then stretching, like if you send, like the Lakers still technically have, we'll say $8 million in cash that they could spend this year. We'll even say, $8 million in cash that they could spend this year. I think it's like 8.5. And if you basically send the amount of money that so Dalton makes, I think about $5 million this year, because of his rookie deal. So if you send $5 million and Dalton to some team that has enough cap space to be able to do that, that opens up that much cap space. And then on top of that, if you waive and stretch Jared Vanderbilt, who I think is making just shy of $15 million this year, so you waive and stretch him, that opens up $10 million or so in cap space on its own, plus Dalton's $5 million. That allows you to go to, Kuminga or Rui and offer $15 million a year. Like maybe that gives you a shot at those guys. And that's how you, like, that's what I that's how I think going to play out. That's how I think the Lakers would prefer to see this play out. Also, another possibility is if you trade like Bronny to some team and you send a little bit of cash with Bronny, wherever LeBron signs, you send a little cash with Bronny and don't take a player back, that opens up another $2 million or so. So then you're sitting at like 15 to 16, maybe $17 million in cap space that you could possibly spend on this wing. But then after that, you're completely out of cap space. You don't really have very many trade assets right now. And so what you have to hope happens, and what the Lakers are hoping happens here, is that Cam Carr, Adu Thiro, those guys pop and become legit, rotation wings for the Lakers. And then now you have a lot more flexibility. But those are things that happen over time. And if they don't happen, then man, that's the part of this that makes me the most nervous. That every time I think to myself, like, man, but what if this doesn't happen? What if that doesn't? What if Walker gets hurt? What if the, like, the what ifs in this scare me so much, because the Lakers just have zero else to offer. They have nothing else that they can offer right now. And it just absolutely terrifies me that there is basically no practical way of pivoting if this plan doesn't pan out. All right, the next question that we have here comes from Matthew the Sicilian, who writes, Bill Simmons finding out about the Brown trade coming off of anesthesia from a colonoscopy is one of the funniest things ever. He admitted it was karma for shitting on Snowtime. I got to give him credit, because like, I legit thought that he would spend, like, in an effort to not think about the Jaylen Brown trade, I thought he was just going to shit on, like, just spend the whole show talking about what the Lakers did. And then at like the very end, be like, all right, fine, I guess we got to talk about this now. But I give him credit. He understood what the audience was there for, and he, told a really funny story about it. And I also give him credit in that, like, I've seen like other reporters from Boston, not all of them, I'm not going to paint with a broad brush here, but I've seen other reporters from Boston who have been like, yeah, you know, like I can't wait to see what that pick looks like coming from, you know, Philadelphia when Embiid is older and this and that. And it's like, no, man. Or like, my personal favorite has been this whole, bit of reporting where they're like, oh, at no point did Jaylen Brown demand a trade or even request a trade. And it's like, oh yeah, so they just did that out of the goodness of their heart. Like, what do you stop it? You know, it's the same shit that you get from, or that you had gotten before in Milwaukee, where it was like, hey, you know, really, Giannis never requested a trade. Okay, yeah, so they just felt like trading him to Miami, and he just happened to get traded to Miami. One of the teams that he reported, one of the few teams he reportedly was getting ready to sign or would sign an extension with. And come on. Like, we aren't stupid. People aren't stupid. It's like, I hate it when, and this is, I'm a part of this. I'm a part of the media too. And I always try to like catch myself if I find myself doing this, but I hate it when members of the media see a situation that everybody can see with their own two eyes and then try to convince everybody that it isn't that thing without anything better than like, well, sources say. It's like, no. Either Brad Stevens has to go like directly on the record and say this definitively. It's like a way worse version of this is what like Colin Cowherd did the other day or yesterday or today, whenever it came out, where he was like, yeah, I've had executives say that Jaylen Brown, you know, just has this, I think he called it a disease, saying that like Jaylen Brown always has to be like the smartest person in the room or always feels like he's the smartest person in the room. And it's like, I've had people tell me wild shit on and off the record. Wild shit. I don't repeat all of it. And oftentimes I'll push back and I'll be like, yo, what do you want me to do with that? I can't do anything with that. How do you expect me to take this? Also, don't say problematic shit. Like, Colin Cowherd hears that from... Because the implication there in the Jaylen Brown thing is that, like, apparently, and you got to know who you're saying this about, but apparently basketball players, and specifically black basketball players, can only be so smart. And if they exceed that intelligence level, then now all of a sudden they become disease ridden. No, man, you can't do that. And so, like, in these efforts to like support the you know, or even present nuance to a situation that clearly doesn't need nuance here, Boston fucked up by leaking that they, you know, that they had put Jaylen Brown on the table for Giannis, and they didn't have a plan B after that information got out, because typically they were so used to being so protected so frequently that they were forced into a spot where they had to trade Jaylen Brown at an extreme deficit of leverage, and they didn't want to go into next season or even longer into this offseason with that hanging over the franchise. And that put themselves in a spot where they had to trade him for not even pennies, pesos on the dollar. Like, not like there was, it was just, it was an absolutely brutal trade. And anybody who isn't willing to say that is carrying water, just flat out. And I really appreciated that Bill Simmons like went on a show and said, this was stupid. All of this was really stupid. It was completely avoidable. And it makes me wonder what else could possibly be going on here. And that kind of that, like that to me, say what you will about Simmons, and I have plenty to say about Simmons normally, but that was a perfectly fine response to this. And it's, I mean, it's a lot of the same shit that I would have said if the Lakers would had done something as stupid as that, which, you know, I didn't like this offseason, so you've heard me talk about it. All right. The next question here comes from John Sotelo, 8652. Speaking of offseason moves, I see that Pete joined the Lakers collective. Is he no longer a part of the Hook? Also, when will we see Lars Sule again? I'm going to talk to Aaron about coming on the show here once the Lakers roster is officially, meaning like they, you know, send out the emails, send out the tweets, send out the press releases, and the Lakers offseason is officially done. So he and I will talk about the offseason. We'll talk about the roster at that point. And then as far as Pete with the Hook, the plan is for him to continue on. I don't see why that would change anything. And I want to continue on with the Great Western Forum. So I don't really see why anything has to change there. You just never know. Like this time of year, as much as like we're all focused on what these teams are getting ready to do for us in this industry, this is also the time where we lay out our workload for next season and you know, fill it to the extent that we can without it becoming unhealthy. Like, I don't know, you guys saw Jason Timpf, who used to be on the Lakers collective. You know, he said that he was literally becoming unhealthy because of how much time he was spending on the air. Those are things that we have to weigh. I have a family, so I'm always very careful about how much I put on my plate. I've probably cost myself plenty of money with that approach, but we all weigh what we can and cannot do and the time that we're willing to spend on stuff. And we'll see what all of us are able to figure out this upcoming offseason once, you know, our actual jobs are taken care of for last season. All right, next question here comes from Matthew the Sicilian. Is Brad Stevens in the same boat as Nico, meaning that trade was horrible, trying to spend Derek White had a better season than Brown? Really? So I don't know if that aspect of the leaking came from Brad Stevens, the whole like Derek White thing. Derek White is analytically more impactful than Jaylen Brown. And this is one of those spots where I truly believe there is value in analytics, right? All it is just information. That's it. It's statistics. It's the statistical information. That's it. Anybody who like uses analytics as a pejorative oftentimes sounds stupid. However, I think the same can be said about the people who too religiously hold on to the catch-all analytics, right? And like the LeBron and VORP and like used to be PER, right? The people who too religiously follow those analytics, like that is where you can get yourself into trouble. And what you have to find a way to do is use that information to whatever extent you can, but also understand its shortcomings. It's like I've always had kind of a saying, and I know I didn't come up with it, but there's a saying out there, there's a cliche out there, which is something to the extent of the smartest people you know are aware of what they don't know. This like that that self understanding, that self awareness of, yeah, I think I'm a fairly smart dude, but I also know that there are aspects of everything that I don't know. And like, how curious are you, and how to what extent are you willing to put in the work to become as educated as you can possibly be on whatever that subject might be? And I think sometimes there's a lack of creativity in analytically driven people. And that lack of curiosity, lack of creativity can sometimes lead people to the conclusion of Jaylen Brown was the seventh most valuable Celtic last year. And it's like, no, man, come on. Obviously, that's not true. So, like, as far as like, you know, did White have a better season than Jaylen Brown last year? I don't think he did. Statistically, he is more impactful, but I don't think, like, if you basically asked Derek White to do everything for the Celtics that Jaylen Brown was doing for them, I don't think the Celtics would have been as good as they were with Jaylen Brown doing that stuff. And like, that to me is like all you need to know about that subject. Now, as far as is Brad Stevens in the same boat as Nico, I would be shocked if this cost Brad Stevens his job. He's done a fantastic job to this point. The Celtics are probably going to be really good again next season. They aren't going to be as good in the postseason as they were last year. And they're probably going to lose Paul George for like 30 games, whether it's for suspension or for injury. But like, end of the day, you know, the big crime here was the Celtics allowing it to get out that Jaylen Brown was the centerpiece of a Giannis trade. That's it. All of the other issues stemmed from there. And once they found themselves behind the eight ball, they decided to rip off the Band-Aid and trade Jaylen Brown. And I would like to eventually get more reporting on what led them to the decision that they needed to do it now. Because like, one thing that I was thinking about while all of that was going on was like, look, the Lakers at one point were staring down the barrel of Kobe Bryant telling them, I want to play on any other professional team in the world. I'll play on fucking Pluto. Like, that entire situation was so toxic that it just, everybody thought, remember Kobe, the first game of the season that year, Lakers fans were booing Kobe, booing him. It was the opening introductions. Google it. I got to figure out like what year it is or whatever, but, and maybe when I do, but like I'll play it for you guys on the show, but Lakers fans were booing Kobe Bryant in that first game at the beginning of it. And then by the end of the game, because Kobe was Kobe, they were chanting MVP for him. And the reason that Kobe remained, it was 07. Thank you, Bloodhand. The reason that Kobe remained a Laker throughout all of that is because Dr. Buss was such a badass that he went to Kobe, took him out for lunch, and said, look, man, you asked us to trade you. We fielded offers. This is what we got. And the one offer that we were even somewhat interested in, you vetoed because you wanted to play with Luol Deng. And I'm sorry, you might want to go to a situation where you're going to win a championship right away, but that doesn't mean anything to us. Our responsibility is to our franchise and to our fans. And what is best for us is for you to try to move past this, and for all of us to try to move past this and get through this together. And eventually, the way it all happened, remember, Andrew Bynum was the guy that Kobe wanted shipped out for, I think, Jason Kidd. And he was pissed. And I think Kevin Garnett as well, one of those two. Well, either of those two Kobe would have taken. But, well, the Lakers were willing to trade for Garnett. They had Bynum on the table for Garnett. Boston, because Danny Ainge did, or Kevin McHale did, Danny Ainge a favor there, did him a solid. Boston, you know, sent Al Jefferson over, and Andrew Bynum remained with the Lakers. But when it was Jason Kidd, actually, that's a great point, Chris. It out. That's a really funny hypothetical. Mark Walters should buy low on Brad Stevens right now. That'd be baller. But anyway, like the you know what Jason or what Jim Buss or Jerry Buss did was like, hey, Kobe, we can't trade you. We're gonna try to just get through this together. Let's just see what this team looks like going, you know, as the season rolls along. And Andrew Bynum took a leap, right? Took a leap. He became a completely different player. He was just an animal. He was incredible. And I'll never forget it. The Lakers had played the Seattle Supersonics one night, and Bynum went off for like, you know, 25 and 18 or whatever the numbers would actually were. And they asked Kobe afterward. The Lakers had the best record in the West pretty deep into the season. And they like, hey, how do you feel? Cause they kept asking him over the course of the off season about this trade demand. And they kept asking him, well, what do you think now? What do you think now? What do you think now? And finally, after Bynum has that game, the Lakers win that game. It was their however many wins in a row that they had racked up. And they asked Kobe, well, what do you think? And he was like, where would I go? You're watching this. Look at what that kid just did over there. And it was just such a weight off of everybody's shoulders. And I'm not saying that this definitely would have played out that way, but at the very least, you could have gotten more than Paul George's old ass and a fake first rounder and one first rounder for him. And that's where I think Boston really kind of screwed the pooch here. It was just like, man, you got to try to have a conversation with him. You got to try to get him on the same page with you and try to, you know, have him be patient, have you guys be patient, get more for him than that trade package. And at least like further into the offseason, like maybe they thought this was going to fester and get even worse, or maybe they thought that Jaylen Brown wouldn't even play for them next year. But to me, this was just such a clear example of Boston operating at their lowest point of leverage, and it really cost them, you know. Yeah, that was fun to watch. All right. That is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge podcast. Like I said, if we get any more breaking news or anything like that, I'll hop back on here. I'll record an offside video or something like that. The plan is to record an episode of The Hook tomorrow. And then, you know, allow that to kind of take us off into the 4th of July weekend. So until then, please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Please turn on notifications for the show and for YouTube. And then subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcast. Preferably Odyssey. Anywhere is fine with me. Use that promo code HMA and get $50 worth of free lineups on Prize Picks. When you sign up, use that promo code and make a $5 lineup of your own. And until the next time you guys hear from me, have a great rest of your evening. Make somebody else's, and I'll talk to you guys soon.